Welcome to Beyond the Rhetoric. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Smith, Senior Associate Vice President of Student Life and Dean of Students at California State University, Dominguez Hills. A 2018 study conducted by the CSU showed that nearly 42% of the system students reported some level of food insecurity and nearly 11% had experienced homelessness. A similar study conducted here at CSU Dominguez Hills in 2019 found that 65% of our students experienced food insecurity and 15% had experienced homelessness. Since the pandemic, these percentages have increased even further. And beyond food and housing, students face other factors that potentially hinder their success in the classroom, including a lack of access to such things as healthcare, mental health support, and transportation. For example, a recent survey published by the Healthy Minds Matter Network found that more than 60% of college students met the criteria for at least one mental health problem, which is nearly a 50% increase from 2013. And these challenges are often more acute of underrepresented and underserved students. In this episode, we're joined by Candace Fernando-Bangura, who is the director of CSUDH's Toro Care program. Toro Care coordinates a network of support to CSUDH students who are experiencing complex hardships, such as basic needs challenges and unforeseen circumstances. They support students by providing individualized assistance that removes barriers impacting academic, emotional, or social progress. So can you talk to us a little bit about Toro Care? What is it? What does that department consist of, and what type of services you all provide?
Sure. So Toro Care is a newly formulated department at Dominguez Hills. Previously, there was a care team of multidisciplinary and folks around campus, and now we're our own department. So we host one-on-one meetings with students just to talk through some issues that they might be having non-clinically. So time management, boundary issues, impulse control. So we have about three case managers, and I'm going to refer to them as care coordinators because we don't refer to our students as cases. So we have three care coordinators. We also host basic needs services through Toro Care. So we have short-term housing, which is 14 to 30 days at a hotel or on campus. We also have CalFresh assistance for students who are interested in the federally funded SNAP program. And then we also have our Teddy's Pantry, which is our food pantry on campus that has shelf-stable items, non-perishables, perishables, and then hygiene items on our campus as well, along with other things like meal swipe cards and all the things that Basic Needs has to offer.
You mentioned a one-on-one meeting. Can you talk about what is a one-on-one meeting?
Sure. So the non-clinical case management that we do within Toro Care is just a meeting with students. Some of our students have an aversion to counseling in a clinical sense. And so our meetings with the case manager is just really talking through what they might not want to talk about with a clinician. And then hopefully getting them a little bit of a warm reception and a handoff over to counseling.
And you also mentioned basic needs, and you began to list some of the services that are provided in there. Basic needs is kind of this umbrella term. Can you talk a little bit about how you all define basic needs and what are all of the programs and services that you all are offering to address those basic needs?
I think basic needs is a little bit of a hot button item, a hot topic right now. I would like to just talk about personally what basic needs means to me, and then I'll go into a professional sense of basic needs. And so for me, basic needs is a human right. So healthcare is a basic need, mental health care as well as a basic need, as well as food, housing, and financial resources are all basic needs. And so personally, I think that informs my professional understanding of what basic needs is on a college campus. And so on a college campus, particularly Dominguez Hills and the other CSUs, basic needs usually is food, housing, transportation, and sometimes clothing. And that's just helping students with the essentials that they might need to be able to focus on their classwork and their co-curricular experiences on campus. And so at Dominguez Hills, we have supplemental food options, which is the food pantry, as well as meal assistance program. And then we also have an opportunity for a student to sign up for CalFresh. So those are our three options for food supplements. And then for housing supplements, We're trying to diversify our portfolio as it relates to housing. But right now we're doing short-term housing, which is a state in our university housing facilities. And then also for students who might be student parents or might have family, we offer students an opportunity to stay at a hotel nearby funded by Turo Care for up to 14 days. Sometimes it lasts a little bit longer, but some folks need a little bit of time before they move into their forever home or their forever apartment, a more permanent stay. So we try to give them help with transitional housing as well.
Sounds like you all are doing a lot. Can you talk about why that work is important and within the scope of what we're doing here at Dominguez Hills?
So our hope is that a lot of the students that we're meeting with, they're talking about, well, I don't know if I could be a student here, or I don't know if I could continue on with classes. I'm thinking about dropping out because I don't have food and I don't have housing. And sometimes it's even transportation. So we're looking to beef up our transportation opportunities as well. But our hope is that students find that getting a college education, specifically at Dominguez Hills, is the help that some of their counterparts that are 20 years old and working three jobs don't have an opportunity to have someone like Candace or Morgan in Turo Care to help them through the various nuances of what it means to be a young adult right now. But when you think about a student who is 20 years old and a non-student that's 20 years old, they're having the same issues as it relates to food and housing security. And so I think the price of education is having advocates and having practitioners who can work on your behalf in a way that another 20-year-old who is not a student at Dominguez Hills don't really have.
That's really interesting. And I don't think I've heard someone kind of juxtapose being in the benefits of being enrolled in college and being a student in higher ed and those who aren't in that way. We always talk about like those long-term things in terms of professional outcomes and learning and development, but just being able to have those advocates that you have access to as a result of being enrolled is a really, really critical piece.
Basic needs is a right now thing, right? Like I'm thinking about not 4 years from now. I'm thinking about not even 2 years from now. I'm thinking about right now. I don't have the needs to live. And so juxtaposed to someone who isn't on a college campus, it's really cool to have advocates. And then I think about being the undergraduate. And I remember couch surfing and not even knowing that me staying on a homegirl's couch for 2 weeks before my lease started was me being housing insecure. And it was like a thing in my college town, like to be for the first, I want to say 3 weeks of August, everyone was like staying at somebody's house until leases started over. And now that I think about that, I'm like, wow, we were making the best out of a difficult situation, but not even knowing that it was a difficult situation and just trying to make it.
Absolutely. Because I remember the same thing. I think, you know, it was a long running kind of joke that you couch surfed, you ate top ramen. Even now is different than it was then in terms of cost of living. We talk a lot about culture of care on our campus. But the other piece of that is thriving students. And I think one of the things you really touched on right now is that so many of our students are often just surviving, thinking about the here and the now, and the work that you all are doing are really trying to position them to thrive. And you've touched on this a little bit, and I'm wondering if you can just expand a little bit more. There's a large debate in higher ed and surrounding higher ed about whether institutions should be in the business of providing basic needs services to students. Is that more social services or is it mission drift for higher ed institutions? What are your thoughts on that?
A lot of our missions as it relates to higher education is all about transformation. And so I don't know how we can transform students without meeting them, as cliche as it might sound, where they are. And if where they are is at a lack of food, housing, and other essential needs, then we should be doing that work. It also, for me, is the equity piece that I don't think we talk a lot about with diversity, equity, and inclusion. How can we bring students to a place where they are at a baseline of no longer needing food resources or no longer needing housing resources? How are we being equitable in that sense, specifically for people who have all their needs met, like me and you, or folks who are professors on campus and are tenured? How can we teach them and look at them in the classroom and it's hard for them to focus? It's hard for them to really know if they're going to show up or not because the varying things that are happening around them are not allowing them to thrive. So sure, we are running the risk of being another social services, but I would rather risk that than not. I would rather it becomes a free-for-all, I guess, than not being able to do the work.
In your short time here, relatively short time here, what impact have you seen? Is there like a situation, a student situation that stands out to you that really represents the significance of the work that you are doing that you'd be able to share a little bit about?
I think a little bit about what makes me excited about coming to Toro Care is that there is a daily success story. And I don't know that everyone has that type of return on investment the way that I do, but one that reaches my mind more vividly, the student was in between housing situations, so experiencing houselessness as well as food insecurity, as well as was a re-engaged student. So previously was at Dominguez Hills and left and now was looking to come back and really complete what was only supposed to be 1 year worth of work. And so when I spoke with the student the first time, the student was very agitated. So they had been bounced around from this place to that place and this place. And so I started the meeting with, what can I do to help you? I think the student was a bit taken aback by the question, because sometimes I think we're asking like, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? But like, what can I specifically do to help you? And so they didn't say it in this way, but like, not being able to know the language for financial aid. My aid is not working because I went into default, and how can I turn around the default? And so not even knowing the term default, right, is a barrier. And then also navigating financial aid and getting the student on their books or on their schedule to be able to talk through one-on-one what can happen. So when you're calling these offices, sometimes it's very hard to be able to explain what you're going through and what type of interventions you might need if you don't know the language. And that really helps me to understand how I can help students help themselves, actually explaining to them a bit of language and asking what you need without having to bare your soul. And so I'm learning that our students really feel like they have to say the worst to get the most help. And I'm really trying to work them through, like, you don't have to bare your entire soul to get help. I'm going to help you whether you tell me the worst or not, you know? So yeah. I think that one case helped me to understand that even our re-engaged students really need a bit of help with language.
You know, you were talking a little bit earlier about how you define basic needs. Our former ASI president once mentioned in a conversation with cabinet and some campus leaders that information is a basic need for students, right? Mm-hmm. Having access to knowing what resources are available. Can you talk a little bit about how you all are trying to reach out and communicate to students to let them know what resources are here, and how can other professional staff, faculty, folks on campus help and amplifying that message?
Folks can reach us by going to Toro Care, CSUDH/Toro Care. And then also we have reprinted all of brochures, our one sheets, so that it makes sense to what we're doing now. And then I think because basic needs is a hot button topic, and it is, I think, really a passion area for a lot of people, I would like for folks to kind of think about what it might mean to work in a basic needs center like Toro Care, and then kind of think about how we can work together to offer support to students without duplicating resources. So I don't know that necessarily every center needs a basic needs hub or a food pantry-esque when there is a food pantry on campus that folks can walk students to. Or if there's a student who's like, I haven't eaten, I need help, direct them to the Toro Care Center so that we can get them the gamut of resources that we have available, whether it be county resources, state resources, or federal resources. All of that can be tapped into if we just know that that student is in need. Another part of that is an understanding of basic needs in a societal way. In our society, food resources is an issue. In our society, housing resources is an issue. And some things are societal, some things are institutional, and some things are the things that we can do in our department. And so a federally funded program, SNAP, which is CalFresh, I can help students sign it up for CalFresh, but I can't change CalFresh eligibility. I literally only have what I can do with my hands, and I'm going to keep my hands open to do the work. But I really would like for folks to work in tandem with me. Not saying that they're not, but that's just my picturesque idea of how I feel like people can really work to support basic needs by not just talking, but like doing.
One of the benefits of that is that if a student is food insecure, says they're hungry, haven't eaten, you all are looking at that as more than just food insecurity. So yeah. can you revisit that again? Like, because I think some of us, student comes and says, I'm hungry. We're going to go buy that student lunch. And mm-hmm. that is a good deed. Feel good about that. But yeah. What is the philosophy for Toro Care on that situation? And how do you all approach that? What are some of the things you all are looking for when a student approaches you all with a specific need?
One specific student comes to my mind now where they are like experiencing not enough availability to food throughout their time in housing because they live on campus, that the availability for food is limited. And so we understand that that is something that Aramark and other partners are working to support. So in the meantime, Toro Care is like looking to see if we can supplement by paying for a student's meal swipes. And then that's something that we can do for other students, like being able to sustain it is another thing that we're looking to do, right? We can help a student with one meal, but can you help 10 students with one meal? Can you help 20 students with one meal to make it equitable? And so Toro Care is thinking about, okay, we can help this one student with a semester's worth of meals. We can do that for a lot more students. We can help a lot more students with that as a basic need, right? But as we're going through that process, let's also work to support them with CalFresh. Let's also show them a tour of the pantry. Let's also think about transportation to local grocers. So one week out of the month, we'll buy a bus and take students to Aldi or Walmart or one of the neighboring grocers in Carson. So we're thinking about how we can get folks to these places because it is a bit of a trek to walk. And maybe the bus isn't really a practical way to get there because it goes a different opposite way than the actual grocery store. And so we're trying to think through ways to really help students in the moment, but also a lasting change where that one time, no, is not really cracking a dent in their food insecurity, but a federally funded program like CalFresh could definitely, you know, put a dent in it. And then how do I actually get to the grocery store? On top of that, Toro Care, specifically basic needs before it became Toro Care and I joined the team, has been spending a lot of money on food in ways that other campuses have been getting donations. And not just donations from faculty and staff, because again, I think some things are institutional and some things are societal. And so I and myself, Morgan and Giselle, have been really working to beef up our donations. In the meantime, working on food bank relationships. And so we're like getting hygiene relationships for free, right? So that's in the works. Our food pantry is going to look a lot different in the coming months because of our location change, but also because of the type of food that we're going to have in there that's going to be healthy and sustaining, not just a small thing of cereal, but like, how about a box of cereal? How about rice? How about top ramen? Like things that are actually add sustenance, but then diversifying our produce as well. So weekly deliveries of produce as well. So we're looking to like have more tangible things in the food pantry in the coming months.
That's great. And you know, really highlighting there how a lot of times if a student comes with an issue in terms of food, that there's also this need maybe around other needs, like around transportation, maybe mm-hmm. it's hygiene, maybe it's mental health. Often we don't see the complexity of some of the challenges that students are really wrestling with in terms of their basic needs. You talked a little bit about the money that you all have spent trying to address food insecurity. I also know an area that you all have invested heavily in is the emergency grants. Can you talk a little bit about that service, what that is, why that's important?
So our formerly known as emergency grant is now called the Toro Care Grant. And we're working to support students who are having an extenuating circumstance or something that is unforeseen that we would like to help them with. So sometimes it's car repairs or sometimes a student is like, I can't pay my rent this month and pay off my balance for school. And so we help them with their rent payment in that regard. The Toro Care Grant is up to $1,000 every academic year. So a student can apply fall of 2023 and also fall of 2024. And sometimes it's a bit more than $1,000. If we see that the need for the student is $1,200 or sometimes it's even more, Dominguez is a really community oriented place. And so I really love that about that. And so we will move and ebb and flow for the need of the student. So it's really good to have folks in various parts of the university working to support students with the Touro Care Grant.
And so you all are doing a lot of great work with students. How do you measure success? And how should we kind of think about measuring success for Touro Care on our campus?
That is a great question. I personally would measure the success of Touro Care by reaching not necessarily more students, because I do want to reach more students, but I think it's a bit deeper than that. I think that success for me would look like moving towards everyone feeling like they can coordinate on behalf of a student. They know where to go when there is a student in need or crisis, or even a student that's harmed to themselves or others. Like, they have an actual understanding of the plan for students. And I think that would be a success for me. As far as basic needs, I think we'll always be serving students who have a need for essential services. Mm-hmm. I think a success would be that we pitch in a bit more. Like, there are opportunities for folks to come out and unpack pallets. We had 16 pallets last week. Maybe there are credits for graduate students to work on our data for, like, help us with knowing how we are impacting students. I think that it could, or faculty members, it could really go as large and as broad as I can think of. I can ideate all day.
And so do you believe that the work you all are doing impacts retention and learning and development? And if so, how?
Absolutely. I think I talked a little bit about, like, if a student is not eating, they are not paying attention to whatever is on the syllabi or with whatever the faculty member is saying. That's, like, I think a bit of it. Sometimes it's, I don't know how to write a paper. And I've been depressed since I couldn't figure out how to write this APA style paper. Also, my partner has been hitting me. And so all of these things have been happening to this one student in a semester. And sometimes we don't know that all of those things are happening because there's not really enough time to sit down and talk through. Well, that's why we have Touro Care to say, okay, now tell me why you're depressed. Oh, okay, so you're depressed because you're having a hard time writing papers. Are you depressed about anything else? Oh, no, it's just the papers. Okay, it sounds like we need to get you some help. Let's walk you over to the writing center. Let's talk to you after you come back from the writing center. Did you get everything that you needed? Okay, what else are you having an issue with? I can't afford the parking pass. Okay, let's talk through what you need to get help with the parking pass. All right, that's done. It literally begins to unfold and unfold. And so Touro Care is really there to help people talk through what they might need.
Is there anything that, as you look towards the future, that you're really excited about for Touro Care that's on the horizon that you all may be working on or that you just hope to see materialized?
We're waiting on contracts to be signed and all of that. But I'm looking forward to being able to, again, diversify the types of food that is in the food pantry. Right now is a bit snacky. It's like, oh, I can go get a snack. But I would really look forward to there being full meals available. I look forward to the food pantry opening, our forever home opening in the next few months. With construction delays, it's understandable. I'm really looking forward to students to come and feel like you're at your neighborhood Trader Joe's or your neighborhood Vons. Just come, walk around. Maybe you want to try a new fruit. Maybe you want to try a new vegetable. Have chicken available or vegan options available. Like, I really can't wait to see our students in the space really feeling like they can have whatever they want to have because they deserve to have it.
It also sounds like there's going to be some great opportunities for others to get involved, whether it's getting their hands dirty, like you mentioned, or, whether it's faculty, graduate students helping with maybe some of the research and understanding the impact that you all are having over there. So that's really exciting. It sounds like you have some staff that are just doing some amazing work in Touro Care, and which also encompasses basic needs. One thing we know about working and doing that type of work is that you're giving a lot of yourself. There's a lot of emotional aspects that are tied into it. So how do we as a campus rally around and support you and your team as you all engage in this work? We talk about the ways we can support students. We can donate, we can get our hands dirty, we can do research, we can do all of those things. But how do we support those who are doing the work to make sure that you all don't burn out or feel isolated?
I would ask folks if they are passionate about basic needs to really like band together with us to be a community member, support us in the ways that might be even just, hey, just checking on you. I heard about this opportunity when I was at Smorgasbord. Maybe this might be a great person to link up with. I think that that goes a long way. Also, assuming positive intent. I think sometimes folks are like really on fire for basic needs, but they forget that we're really doing the work of basic needs, and it might not go as quickly as they've seen it at other campuses or in other nonprofits. But if your intention is to help and you have an understanding of basic needs, I think it would be good to be able to tell us what you think we don't already know. And if we do know it, then it's like, okay, yeah, we can partner in that way. But definitely co-conspirators is the vibe that I think we could really use. I did want to highlight Morgan Kirk, because Morgan has been doing this work at DH for 5 or so years and really championing students in a way that I think really exceptional work. And so I just want to highlight that too, that she's been doing this work for quite some time and has had co-conspirators on campus work with her. And I think we should just continue with that vibe.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Morgan is amazing and has been doing mm-hmm. amazing work for a while on that front. So thank you for that. In terms of feedback and being co-conspirators, are there structured ways that you all prefer for folks to try to engage with you? Is there committees, feedback forms, or do you just want them to kind of reach out, send emails? What's the best way for folks to kind of reach out?
We do have a basic needs committee that meets at least once a month. So like a work group to work through varying topics and trends that are happening in basic needs. We also have a Turo Care impact review. So you can tell us how our customer service or how we have impacted our communication with you. That's available. I'm from around the way. Like I'm from the South Side of Chicago. Like you can totally send me an email, a text message, a Teams message. I just found out that Zoom has chat. So you can reach me on Zoom chat as well. A post-it note. I think that feedback is love. And so sometimes it's there to help us to grow. Sometimes we need correction. And so I'm open to being corrected. I'm open to feedback that's slightly uncomfortable because I think that's the only way that we're going to make it better. That muscle's not going to grow without feedback. And so I'm open to all forms of feedback.
Is there anything that like I haven't asked you about or that you want to share a little bit more about? Are there any burning thoughts or comments?
I just wanted to leave with just talking a little bit about how inspired I am to work at Dominguez Hills and work with a community of folks. And I talk about this often, but when I first became a member of the Turo Nation, I had one student who was having an issue. And so within a day, I was on the line with like an associate dean and a dean and 2 faculty members and a community member who was trying to support the student. And that really just showed me that folks are willing to mobilize for one student. And that shows me the heart of this community. And I appreciate that. I appreciate so wholeheartedly being a part of this community.
I love that. And, you know, DH is a very special, special place. And it's one of the benefits of working here is being able to be a part of that community. It is an inspiring piece that kind of really helps us continue with the work day in and day out. And I think that's why it's also important, like in terms of that feedback, right? Like being open to that and love the way you conceptualize that. Because you have so many people on this campus who truly care about students and care about this work that you all are engaging in and may have some amazing thoughts and ideas, and being open to feedback is an additional way to cultivate community, allowing people to feel like they have a stake. So thank you for that. Appreciate your time and for you being here with us. And thank you for the work that you're doing and just all the ways that you've advanced Turo Care and basic needs in your short time here. Looking forward to everything that is to come.
Thank you for having me. Great talk.
Beyond the Rhetoric is a production of the Division of Student Affairs at California State University, Dominguez Hills.